Wondering why I'm up here. I thought he retired. Well, you all remember Brett Favre. So, you know, if you're not a football fan, Brett Favre was a, you know, he was a good quarterback. And he retired. And then he came back. And then he retired. And then he came back. And he kind of became the joke of late night talk shows. And he should have just stayed retired already. So, well, I hope you don't feel that yet. But we are taking off this week, and you're not going to see a lot of us after this week. So anyway, but Pastor Tony asked me to do this today. Because months ago, when we started talking about this marriage of two congregations, I was the first to broach the idea of a new name for the ministry. And I know that's probably the hardest thing about this whole process for a lot of us. It's a big change. And yet, in another sense, it's not. We're the same people, right? But the name is significant. This past Tuesday evening, our council voted to adopt a new name for this ministry, and today we are unveiling it. I want to say up front, though, I understand that it's a big change. And I also understand, because a number of you have told me, that you thought that the congregation was going to get a vote on this. And I am sorry if we gave that impression early on. We welcomed your participation. We asked for suggestions. We asked for your prayers. But as this whole thing developed, it was the conviction of the council that as the men who would be given leadership to the church, the men who had spent a lot of time in thinking and praying and discussing the vision of the church, that that group of men, our elders and deacons and pastor, should be the ones who, because they understand what we want to communicate to the city, to the people, what kind of a brand we want to display to the world, that they should make that decision. I hope that you can accept that and will understand. But that's how the process has unfolded, and it has developed as we have gone along. By way of introduction, if you have your outline, I'm jumping in. I want to praise God for three things that I've seen as God has brought us through. Number one, for his blessings on the marriage of our two families. He has really blessed. I don't know how this could have gone any better. I mean, sure, there's struggles and there's adaptations and there's transitions, but God has truly blessed. There's a new feel. There's a new excitement. People who come in who haven't been around for a while, school families who came now for this brand new school year, look around and say, wow, this is good. There's just something new about it all. And it's more than just paint on the walls. So let's praise God for his blessings in this process. Let's praise God also for the faithfulness of his people, that you all have gone through this, you've stayed true, you've stayed faithful, you've been attending. You know, prior to this, Sunshine was averaging maybe 130 people in worship on a Sunday. Maybe hit 150, sometimes lower, sometimes higher than 130. River's Edge, I think, was averaging maybe 80 to 100. So just put it in the middle, 90. And we've been averaging like 260 or more. So 130 plus 90 is 260. No, wait. Must be God's math is different than ours. New people have come. Others who have been away for a while have come back. God is blessed. And I am so thankful. I'm so thankful. So praise God for you all. Now's the time for us all to step up, as Chris was sharing about Wednesday evening. And so thirdly, praise God for the mission that he has for us. He's got work for us to do. He didn't just bring us together so we could fill a room, right? He has a mission. He has a work for each one of us to do. And part of as we are going forward is the discovery of that. So the council has thought, okay, what is that mission and how do we communicate it to the world around us? And there are a couple of passages that I think are key. One of them is John 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." This is the night of the resurrection. He comes to them. No, the week later. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Our God is a sending God. The Father sent the Son. The Father and the Son send the Spirit. And together our triune God sends us. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. These are amazing words. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So these words talk about our identity, but also our mission, to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his light. So, here's my question. What if we were able to discover a name for our church that does the following? Number one, truly honors God. A name that is God-centered, God-focused. A name that constantly reminds us that it's not about us. It's not our agenda. It's not what makes us comfortable. It's not what we would like to do or see, but it is what he wants to the best of our ability to discern that. What if we were to discover a name that truly honors him? It's God-centered, God-focused. Secondly, what if we were to discover a name, I put it this way, that is both old and new at the same time, that reflects both our ancient roots, in a sense, but is also fresh and maybe a little intriguing. Something that is old, it's been around a long time, that has been a focal point for believers in Jesus for generations. And yet something that when the current generation looks at it, they say, oh, that's interesting. And they might want to know more. What if we were to discover a name that, thirdly, brings together two emphases that are often separated in the church today? Over the last couple of generations, particularly, there have been the evangelical churches, often characterized by fundamentalist churches, but the churches that are all about, we got to save souls, we got to get people saved. You know, the emphasis on evangelism and saving people and seeing people come to Christ, fantastic, it's critical. Not downplaying it, but that's one emphasis in the church in America. But then there's another emphasis in the church in America that is all about social responsibility, concern for justice, concern for the disadvantaged. And those are often the mainline churches, which sometimes don't have a lot of Jesus, but they got a lot of concern for the world. Whereas sometimes the people who are all about we've got to get people saved, sometimes lose sight of the fact that Jesus hung out with the poor. And the Bible says a whole lot about caring for the disadvantaged. But what if we were to discover a name that in the history of the church has kind of brought together both of those? That concern for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That concern for being the hands and feet of Jesus and caring for people in our world. What if we were to discover a name that just might reflect some of the richness of biblical theology? When you think of the Bible and you think of theology, theology is simply a study of God, or you think of the richness of what the Bible speaks and brings to us about God. You think of Trinitarian. Our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, and yet perfect love and community between the persons of God. What if we were to discover a name that helps us to be reminded of the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereign over all things, over all the world, over all the universe, that God is sovereign over the salvation process, that it is not we who come to him, but he who draws us, that salvation is totally a gift. Yes, we come by faith, but if it were not his leading, first of all, we would never come. The sovereignty of God. What if with that, in the name, there is a historical recognition of the kingdom of God, the rule of God, advancing the kingdom as a church, and the consummation of what God is doing in the world. God's mission is to restore. He created the world perfectly. Adam and Eve chose to rebel. That rebellion led to weeds and sweat and pain in childbirth and abuse and war and dishonesty and all the various things that sin has brought into this world, both sins of action and the results of sin in the lives of people. But God from the very beginning in Genesis 3:15 said, I'm going to crush the head of the serpent someday. And he sent Jesus. And that, in a sense, was the beginning of the end, because the victory was accomplished when Jesus came and lived and died and arose again. But the battles remain. The end has not yet come. But I read this week in Romans chapter 8, as I'm following through the New Testament readings, Paul says, all of creation groans for the day when all will be made right. Wow, think of that. Creation is groaning. Earthquakes and hurricanes and all the things that it's not the way it was meant to be. And God is working, planning, and resourcing for the day when every knee will bow before him and every tongue will confess Jesus as Lord. And all will be brought under the lordship of Jesus, and sin will be removed, and all that is not right will be destroyed, and we will be ushered into the new heavens and the new earth. That's God's mission. That's a big mission, isn't it? That's God's mission. To save, to transform, to restore what the devil has taken, and to make all things new. And he calls us into that mission. We believe, as pastors and council, that we have chosen a name that can do these important things. That is God-honoring, that ties together the old and the new, that brings together the various emphases that sometimes divide the church. It's truly Trinitarian when you understand it. Sovereignty of God is very much a part of a kingdom of God. Come back next week and we'll reveal the name. No, just kidding. I built it up so much that it has to be good. But I want to say before I tell you what the name is, when this name was first suggested, I threw it out immediately. No way. I mean, threw it out in my mind. No. And then, as we have talked as a council, and we've prayed, it's more open to the possibility. So some of you this morning, as you see the name, might react like I did. That's okay. All I can ask is that you give it some time, that you pray, that you reflect, that Google the name. I did that and began to see and to read of the richness of the name. There are churches around the country that have this name, but not many. There's one in Cincinnati, one in Salt Lake City, one in Chicago, a few others. Read about their ministries. There are messages about this name, writings about this name on the internet that are extremely helpful. It was through those writings that I began to grasp what this name could be in our community. I'll tell you what I did on Tuesday before the vote in just a minute. But first of all, here's the name. Really? Okay, you just look at it a minute. It's Latin. Okay. It's not a misspelling of something else. And before you throw it out as, well, we don't use Latin anymore. You ever say vice versa? Etc. Quid pro quo, carpe diem. There are a lot of Latin phrases we use. Que sera, sera. Oh, no, wait, that's Spanish, sorry. Throw in a little Spanish there, too. Missio Dei. I've told you about my journey in this process. Before we voted Tuesday, I just thought to myself, I've got to see personally what and how people might react. So I had this printed up. It looks just like you have on the screen. And as parents were leaving, picking up their kids or dropping their kids off here at school, there were four ladies at a table outside. And I just went up to them and said, could I take just a moment to get your impression? Oops, sure. If you saw a church with that name, what would be your impression? Positive, negative, indifferent? They're all looking at it like you did. I said, it's Latin. It means mission of God. Oh, okay. It's intriguing. Never saw anything like that before. I said, well, the last three names we were considering were New Beginnings, Mission of God, or Missio Dei, and New Creation Church. So if you saw these three, don't worry about the logos, just the names, the words, which would you pick? This one, right away. She said, oh, that one, for sure. I said, well, why? Well, there's lots of churches with these names. That's unique. I said, what about you ladies? Yeah, I'd agree. One lady on the end, she didn't care for it. I have to be honest. But I thought three out of four, that's significant. So then there was a gentleman sitting here waiting for his child to come out of class, big buff dude. So I sat down on the step in front of him and I said, can I ask you, just take a moment, get your impression. If you saw a church, same question, it's Latin. It means mission of God. Oh, it's interesting. If you had to choose between the three, oh, that one. Really? Okay. Caught a couple of people in the back as they were waiting in line for kids. They didn't like it. One chose this, one chose that. Okay, that's fair. Caught a few people as they were going. And afterwards, I thought, you know, I got to get out of the building. Where do I go? I go to Starbucks maybe once or twice a year. I went to Starbucks. Got my coffees mid-afternoon. Wasn't busy, so I hauled on my paper and said to the young lady, she's maybe 19, I said, if you saw a church with that name, what would that do for you? You know, what's your impression? It's Latin for mission of God. You know, so I had to explain that, and I understand. But she was inquisitive. She wanted to know more. I said, well, if you had the three, same deal. That one. Oh. So I'm walking away with my coffee. The young guy at the end, maybe 18 years old, the guy that makes coffee. Same deal, same thing. That one. There was one guy sitting outside of Starbucks watching something on his little phone. And I went to him, and same deal. He didn't care for any of them. He really wasn't interested. I was bugging him, I guess. So My point is, it's taken me quite a journey to be at a place where I can see, not different just for being different, but something me-see-o-de. Now that looks like Navajo. Me-see. Oh, okay, all right. They're waving at me to look at the screen. So me-see-o-de. Was I saying it wrong? Oh, all right. It's Latin for mission of God. Let me read a couple quotes, especially in terms of the Trinitarian focus of this name in the past. Placing God at the center of mission involves a reorientation of thinking, a shift from church-centered mission to a mission-centered church. In other words, the agenda for missionary thought and action is defined by the character of God, not the activities of the church. The implications of this in life and practice of the church are far-reaching. He goes on, he talks about the Father in mission. The overwhelming motive for mission is the compassion and love of God for his creation. The twin themes from Missio Dei establish the motivation and attitude of the church in mission. The Son, the heart of the church's mission, is to communicate the gospel of Christ's incarnation, death, and resurrection. At the same time, Jesus spent a lot of time with the poor, focusing on the needs of those disadvantaged. The Spirit in mission. Christ sent his Spirit to empower his church for mission, to enlighten those who are outside of the kingdom. This means that the church must be reliant on the Spirit, both for its own activities and mission and for the effect of its work. There should be no place for organization or planning which excludes the role of the Spirit. Father, Son, Spirit have been central to this whole emphasis of Missio Dei. Last quote, the Trinitarian focus of Missio Dei combined with the focus on the kingdom of God rescues the church from simply becoming an agent for social and economic change on the one hand, or fundamentalism on the other, and provides a framework for mission in which the false dichotomy between social action and evangelism and mission can be eradicated. We are witnesses to Jesus Christ. So how do I see this name? I see it in this way. This is our identity. It's who we are. We are Missio Dei. We are part of the mission of God. This is our focus. It has to be what we strive for. Our focus is to advance the mission of God in this world of wholeness, wholeness in marriages, wholeness in relationships, restoration, justice, all of those things to give glory to him. And this needs to be our driving force. My prayer is, and I know it's the prayer of the council, that as you grasp this, it will get a hold of you in a way that a lot of other names might not. And that's our hope. For we are all part of the Missio Dei, the mission of God. June 6, 1944. You recognize that date? D-Day. I've read recently a bit about that day. I have put on my bucket list, we've got to visit Normandy, Omaha Beach, the cemetery, those places, D-Day. And one of the things that as I've been reading about it has struck me is this. When you think of what took place on those beaches and the battles and the lives lost, and the mission they set out to accomplish, to retake Europe from the Nazis, I think you have probably more than any other way a picture of who we are as the mission of God in this world. Adolf Hitler knew that an attack would come. He just didn't know where. And so what he set up is what we call now, or they call the Atlantic Wall, a series of enforcements, soldiers, all kinds of things, from Norway all the way down to Spain. He was ready no matter where the Allies attacked. The lives lost, tremendous. What this reminds us of is this. The powers of darkness are strong in our world. And bringing the light into the darkness is not an easy task. This mission God calls us into is not one to take lightly. There's a lot of suffering. A lot of suffering. When you step out and identify with people and try to bring God's message of wholeness and salvation into their lives. But the victory has already been won. What strikes you about this cemetery? Crosses. Crosses. They're not gravestones. They're hundreds and thousands of crosses. Just seems to me, looking at it from a picture, from perspective of a believer, it's a reminder of the first cross, the main cross, the cross of Christ. In a sense, he came. The Father sent the Son. The Son went to the cross. He accomplished victory over the grave. He poured out his Spirit. And then he came to his people and he said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Missio Dei can be interpreted either mission of God or the sending of God. Listen to this video, please.
Missio Dei, the mission of God. It is here, it is now, and it is moving. This is more than a story or a rehearsal. This isn't lip service. It is about living God's mission today. The mission of God's intimate relationship with all of creation, expressed through the life of Christ. It's an invitation to embrace God's unfolding vision that Christ made living. It's been here from the beginning. Missio Dei is a moving mission of discovery and healing and hope. An agenda of significance for all who answer yes to the call to serve. Every encounter with God is an opportunity for exploration and growth. Missio Dei is living the message with the community. Every aspect of it, embracing the world around us, our home, work, neighborhood, church, school, park, street corner, grocery store, phone call, bus ride, everything. The hope of wholeness is a promise, but we must look outside our doors. God is outward moving. It is expanding, growing, and connecting. In a separated world, that constant relational impulse of Christ's mission creates connectedness and hope, Missio Dei. God's love is enduring and persistent, drawing us together through the Holy Spirit. Through the living body of Christ, we become one. Missio Dei, God's vision, Christ's mission. The Word must become flesh.
So now you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get a whole other sermon, and you're not, especially as I lost my notes. It'll be very short. I want to say that change is difficult for many of us, and for the longest time, we've been sunshine here, and a lot of us have been River's Edge, and so change is different because now we're a new thing, and so it's definitely going to take some time getting used to. But the word Missio Dei, the name Missio Dei, conveys to the world that God's hand was and is in this process that we've been in these last few months. He's in it now, and he's also in it going forward from here. There's no doubt in my mind that God bringing the two churches together was God's plan. We couldn't have orchestrated it. It was God-centered. 6 months ago, none of this was on our plate. Couldn't have imagined it happening. So it had to be God's mission. And so I want to let you know that even though the word is in Latin, Missio Dei, it shouldn't scare you. You know, many of us in this room, we're Latinos, so let's embrace our roots, right? Let's go back to the roots. If anything, when they ask you what the name of your church is, you say in Latin, Missio Dei. It makes you look like an intellectual, okay? But seriously, the vision on the wall when you walk in, that was intentional. It goes along with this term, the name Missio Dei, that is to glorify God, that we are to love God above all things, love each other, and then serve God above all things, and then serve each other. And so this vision affirms what we call God's mission, the Missio Dei. And so this church is, if you've noticed over, you know, from the very beginning, this church has not been about, you know, like a church that where you see in parking lots where it says, God is my co-pilot on those bumper stickers. Have you seen that, right? God is my co-pilot. This is not that church. You're at the wrong church because God is not my co-pilot. God is the pilot. If anything, we're probably a co-pilot, and not even that. We're just the people that God chooses to use to accomplish his mission. It's his mission. And so if you're living that way, God is my co-pilot, well, then maybe you need to just let Jesus take the wheel, right? That sounds like a good song title. So it's the mission of God. He is the pilot. We're his hands and feet. So as we come together as one church, this is going to sound weird, but as I was writing this yesterday, it just seemed to me appropriate. As we come together as one church under God, indivisible, with liberty in Christ, because in Christ we are free, with liberty in Christ and justified through his blood, amen? This is why we live. We have eternal life. Let us hold on to the faith and run the race until the day of Christ when he comes again in glory. And so in the meantime, we glorify God. We love God and others, and we serve him and others, his church, this church, named after what he's doing in us, named after what he's doing through us, his Missio Dei. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we need you to lead and guide us, Lord, because first hearing this name, it seems different, and then there's parts of us that just embrace it and say, of course, it makes sense. And God, I pray that your spirit puts us at ease, knowing that a name by any other, a church by any other name would smell just as sweet to you, God, because it's the beautiful fragrance, Lord, of Jesus, and not us, and not a specific name, but this is the title that we function under, God. And so may it be your mission. May we embrace it, Lord. May we run out these doors, realizing that there is a mission that you've given us to proclaim Christ to the nations, that we would be transformed, not only as we do work outside of our church, but in our lives, God, to be transformed more into the image of your Son. And so we ask that you would bless this endeavor, Lord. You would bless this ministry, which is not a new ministry, but it's functioning under a new name. May you bless it, Lord. May we embrace it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.